Hello, this is Kinch Rendell with your business. Hello, this is Kinch Rendell with your business podcast. Coming to you here in April after tax time. You either paid your taxes, decided not to pay any taxes, or filed an extension. All the fun. But maybe you realize how much money is going to taxes. It is 10:26 p.m. here outside of Denver, Colorado. And what am I doing up recording a podcast? I'm driving the truck back from what I'm calling the farm. And this podcast is really going to talk about passion. Last month or two, I've recorded a few shows, haven't actually published them yet. But I've been going through a lot of things in that we're moving, we bought a new house, going to have a little homestead. And also I've been listening to some audiobooks. If you're familiar with The Secret, that same author put out a CD set called The Hero. And also another set, I want to say Mastery, The Master, or Mastery. And what I like that I'm kind of keying in on here, and what I brought up a little bit in the past, is your passion. I'm up at 10:27 p.m. driving home after I headed out to the farm because I'm getting ready to plant another 100 trees of what in permaculture they call a food forest. So it's a productive set of trees that should hopefully continue on, like they should output more than the energy to put in to get them going eventually, and hopefully be sort of a force that can continue to grow on its own at some point. My passion got me out of the house after I got the kids to bed after 8 p.m. or so, went and picked up a bunch of wood that I bury in the ground to help all the microbes and to help the trees grow better. Why? Because it's my passion once again, that it's something I'm into. And how do I tie something like this into business, or how do you tie your passion to business? What I like to talk about in the Hero CDs is sometimes your passion, or a lot of times your passion, should be leading you to something you can be successful in, something you should be directing your life toward, they would say. And for me, if I'm willing to stay up late and do these things, or if you're willing to stay up late to start your own business or update your website, or I don't know, so far as play video games, can you somehow turn that into a business or something you're doing more time with? I love how they point out on the audiobook, if you go to work 40 hours a week, how much of your life you're actually spending at work? And if you don't like it, you should really find something else to do. I so agree with that. I mean, that's why I think you should start your own business, so you have more control over what you do, how you do it. My business partner, I don't know how many weeks ago now, we're talking and he's like, oh, I've spent so many hours here working and I haven't been getting home early. And I'm like, that's not the point of running this business with me. I was like, you overworking yourself just for the case of that you can do it is not the key. And I'll tell you, if you have a small business and you're doing that, you've got to find ways to simplify, to not be spending the extra time there, at least maybe work from home or something, but hopefully have more free time that you can spend with your family, and then maybe after hours you do some different things. But literally, setting things up properly or starting the right kind of business, or let's say taking your passion and finding a way to morph that. A couple things I think of once again. Photographer. You might like taking photos. Do you tell people that? Do you tell people you'd like to take photos of their wedding or of their family? What can that lead to? That can probably lead to you charging somebody $300-$400 an hour to come take photos. It really can. For this farm, so here I am. I'll get home probably a little bit before 11 o'clock tonight. I'll be back out here tomorrow getting ready to plant these trees. I kept thinking, originally bought this property. Great place to drag my two little sons out to because I grew up in the country and we live in the city. And then lately, listening to the Survival Podcast, he started getting me thinking even more that, oh yeah, they want to start farms and then have people come out and do internships, maybe pay them a little bit, but help teach people how to farm. And I thought, okay, I could do something where maybe I could do some teaching, some seminars there, show people, experiment, kind of a testing bed for what will work out here in the High Plains of Colorado and the High Plains in general. What can you grow? What doesn't grow well? What can you produce and sell? I started thinking, okay, this is a bit of a passion. How can I make it productive on the money side? So now I'm really realizing, oh wow, people all across this country have found ways to farm and to make money. A couple of things that come to mind are, if you want to get an all-natural turkey for Thanksgiving, I've heard that you have to buy those in March for Thanksgiving. Otherwise, you can't get them. There's just not enough of them. And people will pay $75 for these free-range turkeys. Same thing with chickens. If you want naturally raised chickens that aren't cooped up and being fed just grain or fed even organic food, you'll pay more for that. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to live at the farm. I really like going out there and doing things. Hey, these other people are also talking about creating farms where they have people come out that want to work at them, want to learn. Maybe you give them housing and pay them a few hundred dollars a month, whatever price you have to agree on. But there's no matter how these things can be productive immediately. Now, you might plant some trees that are produced in 5 or 10 years, but to produce right away, usually you involve animals, which are great for a system anyway. So that's why I'm trying to realize, wow, maybe I can turn this passion where I also want to design sites, but can I have a productive farm? Can you take something that is your passion and tweak it some and go, oh, how else could I do that? And in this case of me wanting to turn this farm into productive, something I always like to hit on, it's going to involve more people than just me. I don't plan to be there every single day and drive 45 minutes to an hour back and forth. And maybe even if I needed to do it all myself, I could do that and not go every single day. More so, something I heard the guy from Polyface Farms, I can't believe I just forgot his name, he brought up that he realized in his farm, he's always had his family there helping him. And that comes back to what I'm always saying, I work better when I'm working with a group of people. And literally he pointed out, he goes, wow, if it was just me, like all these people come up and ask him, oh, how can I do this? He realized he doesn't do it all by himself. He doesn't keep the books. He focuses on little niches of what he likes to focus on, inventing new ways to feed the chickens and to coop the chickens or to move them every day. Whereas his wife loves to watch all the pennies. So I bring that up because for me, that's the same thing in Riptide Hosting. I've always been successful there, I feel like, with a group of people, and I've not done some of the things. I have an accounting degree, but I don't like to actually invoice every month. I like to help people answer the phone, help them understand things. Can you also find where you fit in best? If it's that you're spending too much time in your small business you already have, how can you focus on the part you like and what you're best at so you have more fun? Because once again, if you're spending 40 hours a week or more doing stuff you don't like to do, that's not good for your life. It's probably not good for any part of your life. Challenge yourself. Say, hey, what do I really like to do and how can I make my time more productive doing that? Do I need to hire somebody to help me grow the business? Hire somebody to take care of the little mundane tasks? What is it going to be? How are you going to switch things? If you haven't started a company yet, you may start out on your own. Or maybe you kick ideas around with other people and say, hey, I want to do this and I need help in this area. That's another key, I think. You got to tell people what you're trying to do. Now, if you're going to patent it, well, let me tell you, the original patent I submitted just got rejected for something else that they had supposedly were all done, like they're going to approve this. You're good to go. That was a month or two, 3 months ago. And I get some letters. And it comes back to, man, how often do you just go for it? Maybe you submit the original patent, but your game plan all along should be just get it done. Get it out there. I love, this is coming back to the secret, what they mentioned. If you have a plan B, you might very well end up doing plan B because you gave yourself that option. And that's what I kind of feel like with me and the patents. Like, oh, I'm going to get this patent and probably sell it. Worst case. Or I'm going to do all this and just have a patent sitting around I could sell. Well, in reality, I may not even get a patent. And you have spent time and money, a decent amount of money, thousands of dollars, trying to do patents. So this comes back to, let's go with game plan A. Get out there and get something going. Start your website. Start your blog. Look at your passions and ask yourself the questions, how can I turn this into my job or how can I turn this hobby into something where I'm making some money? What just came to mind was a fellow autocrosser years ago. He was racing a certain type of car, I want to say a Camaro, and he started making some hubs that he could sell to other racers for some reason or some part of the car. Can you do that? Can you take some hobby you have and go, oh, wow, look, I could change this and it works for me, so I could do this for somebody else. what can you do? Start asking your questions. How can I turn this into a career? How can I turn this into something that makes money and I have fun doing it? I know some guys that got out of college in the last couple of years. They like to race. They're now making money on their own in the race world, setting up people's cars, setting up their race car, only race cars, like strictly race cars, not just street cars. So now they've been racing for over 10 years. I know people that have broken off and done this and are doing it either part-time or full-time. I really believe it is very possible to turn your passion into what you're going to do full-time. Does it take a day? No. Does it take a year? Maybe, maybe not. You don't know. It may take 3 months, 6 months. And the more you let people know what you're doing via Facebook, Twitter, just friends and conversations, the better. Like, hey, I'm doing this now. The people I know that recently started this last year doing more car alignment and race things, they've told me, hey, I'm doing this now. If you need this done, let me know. The guy that I randomly, a racing guy down in Texas, a friend that I've met throughout the years, he knew I was here, wanted to buy something off Craigslist. The guy that delivered the part to me, I asked him what he did. He didn't even tell me. He should have kind of thought, okay, I'm into cars a little bit. I'm buying some cars because I race with some people. He paints cars. He works on Hondas. Promote yourself. He had business cards, but did he come off and just tell me? No. So make sure you do that. I mean, I can always grow in that area too. I'm not perfect. I'm much more, I forget what one guy said, I'm more of the spider. I kind of throw out a wide net and I want to catch things, or a wide web, online presence, website-wise, and just catch people. There's also people that go out there and hunt people. They're hunters. They go out there and they're telling everybody. Make sure you're doing more of that. Even if you're just kicking your idea around more right now. Maybe you don't give it to everybody. And if you do, and you tell everybody and they shoot you down, take that as motivation. Be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do it just to prove you wrong. I think of Kobe Bryant. I swear, years ago, people doubted him. Or you can't come back from whatever. I heard Michael Jordan same way. He got cut in high school. I remember that. So lately, I have remembered things all the way back to high school. Coaches saying things like, you would F up a free barbecue. And I've thought about that lately going, that's motivation, actually. To be more, to do all I can do, to follow my passions, and make something, not only of my life, to show people what's possible. So if you get some of those negatives, dwell on them in the fact that I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove you wrong. That might be a competitor. Be like, oh, really? Yeah, you don't like my idea, huh? You don't think that's going to work. Take that and kind of get it, maybe let it get under your skin a little bit. I realized a friend the other day called me about my golf pat and blah, blah. And when I said something, he goes, oh, that won't work. I'm going to use it as motivation just to be like, you know what? I need to spend more time, or I want to spend more time doing that. And take my little baby steps. So that's something else I like they brought up in The Secret. How do you accomplish something? One step at a time. How do you run a mile? One step at a time. Every day, every week, let's take some steps. Put something on your blog, on your website. Tell someone about it. Kind of get that momentum and keep it going. Just keep it going. Always, if you can, do set reminders. Do you have what are you going to do? And that's where it kind of comes back to also, if you have partners, you can easily be more accountable to what you want to do, what you think you're going to do, and what you think you can accomplish. Because they're going to be there, and you're going to tell them, oh yeah, we're going to do this week. I mean, it really has helped me. If you're by yourself, hopefully, you have a spouse or some good friend that you can bounce ideas off of and say, hey, I want to do this. And then ask yourself, how do I get this accomplished? And sleep on it. I found that so true back when I was programming all the time. Come to a problem, can't figure it out. Kind of just ask myself, how do you do this? How am I going to, what's the solution here? Search around the internet and then sleep on it. And so often come back kind of fresh, rested, the answer would be there. So start asking yourself the questions. The Secret hits on that a lot. And I've heard that in other audiobooks, self-help things. Literally, ask yourself the questions you need answers to. And catch yourself if you're asking yourself negative questions. Why can't I do this? Why do I always fail? Why am I stuck in this dead-end job? Don't ask those questions. Because you want to ask the positive, I think. The how do I get out of this? What can I do now? What's the next step for me? Those are the positive things. I like what somebody at Toastmasters said in their speech a few weeks ago. They were literally like bringing up more questions and visualizations of, if you had a coach, how would you want that coach to speak to you? Now, I saw coaches, especially at the college level, that would cuss you out and everything else. I think a lot of us are that negative coach to ourselves. Whereas in reality, how would you like someone to treat you as a coach? Nice. Can you be your own self-coach when you talk to yourself or when you're thinking thoughts that's positive? I'm getting better and better at catching anything negative that comes in or comes out of my mind, of other people. And at this point, I'm trying to learn how I can morph that into, if it's a negative thought, move on. Like, instantly, okay, that was negative, think of something positive. That was negative, catch it. Bam! Okay, now how do I switch it to something positive? The same thing happens whenever last year, so what was that now, 4 or 5 months ago, when I said, hey, I am not going to spend any more time reading about the economy or politics. But how did I do that? I didn't quit cold turkey and do nothing. I didn't stop looking at my phone. I switched from that to, okay, I'm going to find something to read about, some videos to watch, dealing with farming and permaculture or something else. So I replaced that with something I consider positive. And now I'm doing it with my thoughts. If I think of a negative thought, let's, instead of even thinking about it 2, 3, 4 times, going over a scenario, let's just move on to something, think of something positive. What would I like to think about? And I've caught myself how I kind of deal with life in general. Is something happens, I'll think of the worst case scenario, and then I'll kind of come back to reality and go, okay, that's probably not going to happen. If it does, hopefully I survive by doing XXX, or hopefully I get out of this issue by this. I'm trying to eliminate that even, because it's kind of going down the negative path somewhat, because you're thinking of maybe the worst case scenario, and okay, I can move on from that. Like, okay, business doesn't work, I can move on. I'm not sure if that's the healthiest way, so Lou, I'm trying to say, hey, let's not even go down that path. Let's not give any time and effort or brain processing power to that. Can you catch yourself, whether it's speaking to yourself, what you're spending time on, and just change that to, can you go, oh, I was going to watch this show again, and it's okay show. Can you replace that by saying, I'm going to get out my laptop or get out my piece of paper and write down what I want to be doing in 5 years, or put a blog post, or add a new page to my website. Change something by replacing it. Replace the thoughts and replace some of the actions and things you're spending time on now. Because if you're not already, or if you're not having more free time, that's the key to this life. Find a passion you can spend more time doing. Maybe it ends up where you're working less and you're spending more time doing your passion. Eventually you find a way to convert that passion into where you're making more money, that you can become that. Something else I can bring up to you is, where you're living even the best thing for you? Are you living somewhere that's kind of expensive because it's closer to your job? So literally, you're not even living where you want to live because you want to be closer to this job because you feel like it's the only job you can have. How much is entailed, or how much is tied to a job? Tons. And how often could you say, okay, maybe I can move somewhere else and maybe I'm taking a cut in salary, but maybe I can live more open, and then maybe you can grow your own food, save some money. But more so, does it get you something closer to being happier, more of your life? Spending more time doing what you want to do. For me, I really wanted to raise my kids outside the city, on some land. Yes, you can have chickens in the city now. The fox got ours, dead, didn't eat them, wish it would have ate them. So literally, can you then move out somewhere else, or maybe just a cheaper area of town where then you could take a different job, or you could be working for yourself and not have as many bills? And this makes me think of Dave Ramsey. One of my best friend, he said literally, maybe a month ago, man, Dave Ramsey's getting under my skin. And I noticed, like, I don't know how many months now he's been listening. I asked him, hey, what are you eating when I'm talking to him? What are you having for lunch? Oh, I brought my own lunch. I'm like, wow, I'm thinking Dave Ramsey really got under his skin. What would Dave Ramsey say? Why am I on this tangent? Because if you have a job and you're making great money and you're like, I can't do something else. But if you have a car payment and a big house payment, cut those back if you have to. Really? I mean, I'm kind of a car guy. Yet, I saw some new BMW today. I'm like, well, it looks nice. And I literally thought to myself, would I want to have that if I had a payment? Or would I rather pay cash for something like that? Or would I rather spend that money on my passion? Now, I do want to dream big. I want to be able to say, you know what? I can have the fancy car and I can have all this other stuff going. But I realize right now, I'd much rather throw money toward my passion. I'd like to even buy more property. I started searching on Zillow and realizing there's some properties under $50,000. Under $20,000, I can get 35 acres. Now, it's an hour and a half or so from my house, even my new house we're going to move into. But it's so cheap. I'm like, wow, could I go out there and just put a whole bunch of seeds in the ground and see if some grow and kind of dig little ditches that would help get them some water? I mean, literally, I'd rather do that than buy a car, I realize. So that's where my passions kind of sort of, yes, I have a little race car, and I don't want to buy an expensive race car. I'd much rather, so I'm kind of picking and choosing where I'm spending my time passion-wise. Yes, I still play with the race car stuff, but I will spend a lot of time out there planting trees. About 2 weeks ago, spent on and off 4 days planting about 141 different trees. Mind you, these are little bitty, some 6-inch, some 2-foot tall, 3-foot tall trees. But I was out there doing it. It was a great workout, and I have fun thinking about the future of it. So for me, my passion of planting these forests and food forests is this little bit of effort now, how it pays off later. Realize, if you start your own business now, how much it can pay off later. For you, for your family, for a future family, just for yourself, for your employees. I mean, Riptide is now 12 years old. And literally, when we started it, we were just hoping we could someday pay a mortgage payment. And I don't think my mortgage payment was over $1,000 a month. Literally, that was the hope and the dream. And it grew and it grew. And I realized that I had to adjust my thinking. I want to grow some more. I want us to have a lot of employees who are having fun learning things, and maybe they don't stick with the company forever, because I'm like, what's your dream? What's your goal? What do you want to do? That's the kind of boss I'd like to see myself being, is really helping them help themselves and think bigger. What do they want to be doing? But how much bigger can we get it? Can we have it help other customers, help other employees? Yeah, it can help them. It definitely can. Because the people running it can run it in such a way that it will be a positive place to be. So what you might start now might be your passion. Your kids someday may take over. That's what I think about a farm. Because I have this passion, how will it affect my kids? If I just stuck to doing computers only, and I thought about that, okay, I have a computer company, would everyone run it, or web hosting, server hosting company? Maybe, maybe not. But I grew up around farmers. I grew up with horses, and I knew my dad had cows, and then later on, till recently, my parents had cows again. Having the farm to me was getting back to kind of my roots, and also now I realize I can show my kids that. And moving to 5 acres, I can kind of have a little homestead where we can have more chickens and different things growing. So what is all that worth when you follow your passion? How does it affect not only your happiness in your life, but the other people around you? And it can come back to you're happier. You're spending more time doing what you want to do. For the farm, trying to think, okay, how am I going to turn this passion into something that can make money? Well, I need to put in a lot of work now, I think, and find things I can do now that will be paying off in 2 and 3 and 4 years or 5 years that will produce something you can sell. Maybe it's only a few $1,000 a year, $5,000, $10,000. That's still real money. So I ordered over 1,000 asparagus plants that in the next probably 2 weeks we're going to plant. Now, you don't really pick your asparagus for a year or two. But the key to asparagus is it can last for 20 years. It's perennial. It comes back year after year, perennial. It keeps coming back. So that's a heck of a good investment. And when you buy like 1,000 of them, I forget if you pay like $200 for that. So it'll cost me as much, probably put in a little bit of irrigation strip or something. Not 200 bucks, but literally more time and effort to put them in than what it cost. And you can get a return for 20 years. I mean, that's just kind of mind-blowing when you look at that. And I think you can cut asparagus some places every single day. I don't even remember what we pay for asparagus at the store. But if you like asparagus, you can plant it and be getting it for 20 years. I think they said for a family of four, you plant an 8x15 little area. Maybe you don't have that. You only have a 2x3. I planted some last fall that's growing here in the city. So in the next year, you'll be able to cut them and eat them. So I'm not pushing toward farming, but if that's your passion, look into things. Look into permaculture. Look into backyard gardening. Maybe you're already doing that. Maybe you start a website talking about it. Maybe you put a little ad in the little local paper saying you will help people. Maybe you do it for free at first. That's what I was thinking here in the city, although we're moving now, was literally I'd love to help people set up a little drip irrigation system. Like, hey, for $50, I'm going to go buy the stuff you need, and we'll get this all set up on timers, and you can grow your own tomatoes and whatever else you like. And just doing that and then letting people know that, that's another way to get things out there. If you like to do it anyway, you like to help people, you like to see them grow things, you can teach them. Then you can tell them, oh, I have a class I'm putting on. Hey, yeah, it's $20. 10 people can come over, and we're going to show you how to do the drip irrigation. And you're going to leave with some drip irrigation that you can use, or at least you can have this either ebook or a handout. Some people, I guarantee you, will still like handouts, pieces of paper. Can you turn your hobby or a passion or something you like to do into some kind of revenue stream? Because once it becomes that, I think then you can find ways to grow it. So I'm kind of on a high. I go through little sections or months of where I listen to audiobooks or I read different books. The last couple months I've been doing that. My wife bought these CDs, and I was listening. I was like, wow, that's good. And then she gave me the Hero one, and it's more business focused, like turn your passion into your job, and talks to all these different people or interviews them per se, or has them speaking about what they did, how they overcame challenges, taking that little step every single time. One step at a time. What can you do today? And like I often like to say, do something. Be doing something. Take some positive steps. You want to get there. I mean, I want to get there. I want to follow more passions. Where can it lead? I never really know. But I want to keep dreaming, and encourage you all. Hey, you want to get there. You want to find some way, I think, to free up more of your time. Or if you really love something, maybe you want to work 60 hours a week doing it. Maybe it's a passion you're going to following, and you're going to look back and say, man, that was great 20 years from now or 40 years from now. I'm so glad I was doing that and following my passion. And I just hope I encourage you. Talk to people. Ask yourself the questions. How can I turn this passion into what I can do more of and more of? And maybe it's racing. I've wondered, can I turn my racing passion into racing cars for real? Maybe. If I dream it and worked at it enough, it would fit my lifestyle. Or do I turn it into something where I'm a coach? Where I keep putting out videos? Let me tell you something else. You put things on YouTube. I was in California last weekend. First road trip with my 5-year-old. Great road trip with a 5-year-old. It worked out way better than I could have imagined. This guy walks up. Neil walks up and says, hi, are you Kinch? I said, yes. He goes, I've watched your videos. I really appreciate you doing that. And hey, I'm probably going to college out there. I was like, cool, yeah, hey, if you don't have a car, let me know. So putting something on YouTube, that's the first time somebody has, I think that's the first time someone walked up to me. Hopefully someday somebody will send me emails for the podcast or see me somewhere and say, hey, thanks for doing that. Can you do that? Can you be encouraging someone? Can you put something out there that helps someone? I like to think of good karma because I think of the forums at thesurvivalpodcast.com. You get karma points. If you help somebody do something, you get karma points. So literally, what can you do? How can you help? How can you get the word out there? Do it. Take a step today. Take a step tonight. I'm so pumped. It's almost 11 o'clock, and I want to go in and get online and upload some of these podcasts. I mean, do something. Put a blog post up. I realize that's another thing. If you kind of get stuck with one thing, like if you're podcasting, put some blog posts. Put something up there about a link to somebody else that's positive. I found somebody I'm going to link to soon. Just so something's going on. What step can you take? What have you been into? What have you been reading about? For me, I've got to go ahead and start that other website. I've got to pick the name for the permaculture farm. Really, that's kind of holding me back. It's like, no, just do it. Like this podcast. Change your name later if you need to. I'm basically telling myself right now, pick a name, go with it. You can change it later. Just get past whatever step you're at and take another step. Take another step. Let's do it. Let's follow our passions, have some big dreams, and accomplish some things. Hope you enjoyed it.